Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, Friar faithful. 97.3 The Fan's Padres Roundtable is on the air.
Unbelievable!
It's time to discuss everything going on with the Padres. The 97.3 The Fan crew is here for the most in-depth discussion on the Friars in our weekly Padres Roundtable, delivered by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. And now, here's your host, Ben Higgins.
We have made it, the final roundtable of the regular season presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty, and we are back with a great lineup today of Matt Scraby, Tony Gwynn Jr., Stephen Woods, Braden Soprenic, Chris Ello, and I am Ben Higgins to talk some Padres baseball commercial-free for the next hour. And we have a playoff-clinching team. The Padres are going to the postseason. I hate to start with bad news, but I do think we have to address yesterday's unfortunate development right off the bat, and that is the injury to Ramon Laureano, a broken finger that is going to keep him out of at least the wild card series, if not longer. Tony, obviously, we're there. I'll let you kind of start with your thoughts on how this impacts the Padres going into the postseason now without one of their key right-handed bats.
I don't think there's any other way to characterize it than not good. You know, he has been terrific since he put on a Padre uniform. He brings some nastiness to the bottom of that lineup. And you're going to miss his bat. I mean, but we're at that point in the season where, you know, it is what it is. And that means that, you know, Manny's got to be better. It means Toddy's got to be a little bit better. And guys got to step up. But there's no doubt that this is not an ideal situation going into a playoff series. Perhaps missing your second best offensive guy since he's been here.
I think the question, Woods, is how does Mike Shildt kind of respond to it? Do you simply take your regular lineup and then put in someone else, whether it's Gavin Sheets or Bryce Johnson, or do you change everything because you don't have one of your key guys and go with a completely different order?
Yeah, we did it today on the air just as a fun and not-so-fun exercise. You know, it's not fun trying to replace somebody like that, but you could still go left-right through the whole entire lineup. You don't have to have crazy lanes of lefties. And, you know, there's definitely a way to do it. And I don't think it's going to take some big, massive wholesale change. I mean, it's flipping a couple guys here and there. But, yeah, you lose the glove and the arm. And the base running, you know, and all of that that he brings, he's truly, and the term dog gets overused, I think, in baseball these days, but legitimately, like when I picture dog, I picture Nick Pivetta and I picture Ramon Laureano. Those are the two dogs of the San Diego Padres, as far as I'm concerned. And you lost one of your dogs, man. You got to figure it out.
Can you replace, I mean, you're still there. Joe Musgrove's a dog. Also, I would say, but hasn't.
I forget
been.
About him because he hasn't pitched
well,
this
that's
year.
The
but
thing.
You know,
can you still impact though from the bench? I mean, he's not going anywhere. Do you have to play to be the dog, or can you impact the team?
I don't know that his personality is rah, one of rah. What's right. Like he's more of I'm gonna show you what I'm gonna put on paper or what I'm gonna put on the field. So I don't know that it's gonna be that much of a difference maker in terms of from the dugout.
Braden, I do think that, as Tony said, you've got high-paid right-handed hitters who need to step up. But if you put them in their normal spots, you may end up with some lefties kind of stuck together at the bottom of the order. Would you think about changing your lineup to move maybe Luis Arraez to the leadoff spot so you can push down the righties 2-4-6 and, you know, have Tatis and then Machado and Bogart so you're not so lefty dependent at the bottom of the order? Is that worthy of some discussion here this weekend?
No, I think they got to stick with what they got and what they know they can do. And as Tony said, the guys at the top need to be able to do some damage. And, you know, it's going to be – to me, the interesting thing is going to be, like, you know, Sheets going to play or is it going to be Johnson? Because you're going to be playing the Cubs and they're going to throw left-handers at you. And those are two lefties that did pretty well against the Padres in Chicago the last time they were over there in Chicago. So, you know, I think from that perspective – when you get to the playoffs, I mean, your stars got to go out there and perform. I mean, to me, at the righty-lefty matchup is one thing. I think it's slightly overrated. I know I might disagree with a lot of people on that, but to me, I'd rather keep my top the same and keep the guys in the usual positions in terms of the batting order. And you got some lefties on this team that can hit and guys that have, you know, at least are serviceable against other left-handed pitching. So I wouldn't make anything too drastic in terms of changes.
Chris, what do you think Mike Shildt does? Is it simply Gavin Sheets because he's been the guy who's been more productive even if it is against lefties? Or will he look at the defense and switch hitting capability of Bryce Johnson, who's had a really good season when they've asked him to go in there? And could he possibly be getting playoff starts in the first couple of games of the wild card series?
First of all, I want to address the fact that I'm pretty sure I heard you should at least ask us if we think
Luis Arraez
should move Luis Arraez up in the order.
I know.
That's
why I looked at you like
that. I had never heard that suggested ever to move him up in the order. But no. I think Bryce Johnson's going to play at least one of the two games against Imanaga or Boyd. Unless Sheets has a huge game. The reason that I'm concerned is not that Sheets can't do the job, but for a left-handed starter to face a lineup that with Sheets is going to have five left-handed batters in it, that's tough. I mean, he can pitch around Manny. They can pitch around Fernando. There's always going to be another lefty right around the corner. So I'm worried about that. And for that reason, I think Bryce Johnson may get the call. And then Sheets comes in off the bench midway through the game, hopefully once you get the starter out or however it works. But, you know, the Laureano thing wasn't the Cubs, you know, two left-handed guys are, you know, face.
And four guys in the bullpen. Right.
So it's just
too.
That worst timing of all. But Tony said it, you either find a solution or you use it as an excuse. And that's not going to work.
I think that's the more concerning part. It's not necessarily a starter because you get a couple looks at the starter, you can start to make adjustments. It's when you get a bullpen guy coming in and he gets a lane where there's multiple lefties, that suits the Cubs in this situation, assuming that's who we play. So, like I said, it'll be interesting to see which way they go. I think both guys can get the job done. I think the Arise thing, moving him up, is certainly a possibility. I think everything's on the table at this point with Laureano going down.
Matt, I think we've all agreed it's certainly bad news for the Padres, but is it fuel for the doomers here who just want to find a reason why the Padres can't do this? Or can we acknowledge that every team is dealing with at least one or two injuries at this point, and this is the one the Padres are going to have to deal with? And
what do you say, leader?
I think that we should deal with injuries because that's what teams have, and a lot of people aren't going to go that way. I've already seen the San Diego curse is back now because Ramon Laureano broke his finger. I think this team is built for these moments. It seems like they step up when they absolutely have to step up in the last couple years. Maybe, you know, this year they've struggled a little bit trying to catch the Dodgers, even though they were within reach. But I do think that Gavin Sheets has been a lot better throughout the year against lefties as well. And Ryan O'Hearn's been good against lefties. So I'm not so much afraid of the lefty-on-lefty matchup, even though the numbers tell me I should be afraid. I do want to say, though, that Ramon Laureano's finger, because I was listening to the radio yesterday when it happened, And Tony has drilled into my head for the last 8 years. Hamate injuries are really bad. And so at least it's not a hamate. It's
that's
just
what
a
I
finger.
Thought it was initially. So watching them look at it.
Yeah, because a hamate means he's out for the playoffs. Yeah, for like sure. There's still a chance for him to come back if they get down the road a little bit.
It's our 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. And before we really dive into the playoffs, there was a regular season that's wrapping up that needs to be respected. And I want us to look back. And I don't intend this to be the definitive list. It's not a top 10, but I just thought, let's throw out, what were some of your favorite moments from this 2025 Padres regular season? It wasn't necessarily filled with the drama of maybe other seasons of walk-offs, but there certainly were some things to be appreciated. For instance, for me, Fernando Tatis Jr.'s defense and the home run robbing catches. We saw four of them over a span of, 27 home games. One of the most amazing things I've ever saw. They all were a little bit different as well. Just watching him play at another, I think, platinum glove level out there in right field and just showing just what an unbelievable athlete he is. That's one of the takeaways I'm going to have from this season. But feel free, anyone, if you just want to kind of blurt out one of your favorite moments from the season.
I'll go next. I think I'll go with Fernando Tatis Jr. on the offensive side. There was a lot of heartache early about the lack of power. You look up at his numbers this year, and the power is pretty much on par in terms of home runs, is where it's been outside of the 1 year he hit 40. And I think of that, my man has an approach now that leads to him getting more walks. He's found a way to be really what we needed him to be at the top, which is a guy that gets on base and kind of sets the table. And I just enjoyed watching him kind of go through that process and come out the other side and I think is going to be a better player offensively moving forward because of it.
I really liked Mason Miller's immaculate inning a lot. I really liked Mason Miller a lot. I hope he's ready for probably a heavy workload in the, hopefully just two games in Chicago, because I think
can he go three innings in both games?
You wanted to convert him to a starter. How about now?
Yeah.
How about
go.
Now? Yeah, how about a multiple day starter? Yeah. Three innings each day, and we'll see what happens. I love the dude. I forgot about him when I was talking about dogs. He's a dog, straight up. And I love watching him pitch. That immaculate inning was pretty special. And you realize, you know, the demon that you got in him. And, you know, it's not one moment. It's a series of moments for Adrian Morejon, I think. I've actually gotten to see him multiple years out at fantasy camp. He's always at the complex. And I'll tell you, like, there was a certain, he was like blue. Like he was like, he was like had the, it looked like he had the blues all the time. And I'm like, to watch him like turn it around this year and become the best left-handed reliever in baseball is incredible. It's incredible. So all of his moments this year, I would like to throw in because he's been incredible. We are dead and buried without that dude.
There's something so satisfying about seeing a player figure it out.
Yes.
It doesn't always happen like that, but to go through struggles and then come out on the other side.
Yeah.
Struggles, injuries. And getting better in the process.
And like I would say it to Pauly every year. I'm like, man, he just looks so sad. Like he just looks like he doesn't have confidence. He'd just kind of be like bumming around in there. And I'm like, man, this guy is so, so good. And he harnessed it. He figured it out. And, you know, I know he gives a lot of credit to Ruben this year, but he's been unbelievably great.
Yeah.
Maddie?
I would say to branch off that a little bit, I can't really pick a moment, but Xander Bogaerts' turnaround this year. Because as Chris has highlighted on our show many, many, many times, people were ready to get rid of Xander and
eat his contract.
Again.
Yeah.
And he turned it around and he was so critical for the Padres over the stretch that he got hot. And like you said, you like when a player figures it out. Xander Bogaerts, I like when players struggle. And then they keep working and they figure it out, and all of the work that they put in is starting to show for them. And I really like that part. Same with, a lesser impact is Ryan O'Hearn figuring it out here recently.
Yeah, man, so unreal.
Xander's come back and, again, defensively has looked fantastic. I mean, we were last year, they moved him to second base because we felt like shortstop was coming to an end. He looks like he can play three or four more years at shortstop the way that he's been playing lately.
With a broken bone, by the way.
Yeah, with a broken bone in his foot. Braden, any favorite moments or individuals?
Well, I like to see the emergence of Morahone. You know, you signed him as a teenager, right, out of Cuba, and he goes through and, you know, expectations of him being a future starter, and then he goes to the bullpen. He has suffered multiple injuries, and this is the first year that he has, you know, really put everything together. You've seen him, and as Wood said, he's... You know, he seems like he's in good spirits, and why wouldn't you be? You're an all-star this year for the first time. You know, the bright future that he has in a Padres uniform, that was fun to see. The Xander Bogaerts turnaround, like Scraby said, also great. You know, we talked about Fernando, and you talked about the platinum glove level play. I mean, his home run robberies have just been incredible. I mean, every Next single level. One is like, that is one of the most impressive plays I've ever seen. I mean, they have worn out the star that it broke off the stick over there.
How did that happen?
It was only a matter of time. I mean,
was that terrifying for you?
It was. It was. It's like when a mascot's head falls off. Right? That's right. It's kind of same deal, right? It's like, oh my gosh, what do we do?
I saw Tony reaching out for the star. Yeah.
I mean, why couldn't it have been scanned in here? Damn it.
Tony's had to use that thing so much this year because of plays like that Fernando has made. And last thing, you know, David Morgan kind of being a guy that has got pulled up to basically just fill in a little bit, and he's played himself into a bullpen role and has looked pretty lights out. And the guy up from Double A and the story that he had, you know, coming through is pretty cool too. So I think obviously a lot of individual performances more than moments have been pretty cool to watch.
Chris Ello, favorite moments?
Well, I think this is the year of AJ Preller. I really do. You know, we've been doing this for, you know, almost a decade, Tony and I and you, all of us. Even the biggest naysayers have not been able to call or write us this year complaining about AJ Preller's job. Think about it. Two of the top MVP candidates for this team were signed at the last minute by AJ Preller, Nick Pivetta and Gavin Sheets. And then the trade deadline that he had, which was acknowledged around baseball as the best anyone had, and helped put them in the position they're in. So I think it's AJ Preller. And just to represent that, I go Gavin Sheets, because we sat with him at spring training. He's a wonderful guy. But when we sat with him, and it was, 2 weeks before the season, Tony, he didn't even know if he was going to make the team.
Right.
Let alone be in the lineup. I don't think he was in the lineup opening day.
He didn't think he'd be playing left field.
Right. Yeah. He homered.
Yeah, that's true.
And then he has
the wall out there.
He homered on opening day, but off the bench, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And then he became what he became. And then they put him in left field. And then he ran through the wall.
Or tried to.
The wall still has nightmares about Gavin Sheets
right?
out there.
And then we thought, well, we can't put him in left field anymore, except for the fact he worked at it and became pretty good at left field. And then after all of that, they made the trades and put him on the bench for 3 weeks.
And he wore it.
He didn't make a peep. He just worked his butt off. He's a great example of what everybody should be like.
Yeah, don't,
I think he represents this team great.
Don't forget, and then when we had the injury, he had to go back out and didn't miss a beat.
That's right.
Came right back and just continued to produce. He's certainly, I think, one of the funnest stories we've had all
year. I also want to throw out watching Jackson Merrill make it through these tough sophomore struggles and kind of out on the other end these last few weeks. And once again, emerging as what looks like one of the top outfielders in baseball. And finally, because no one ever brings him up,
Randy,
he flies under the radar. Randy would be a good one too. Jake Cronenworth.
Crony.
Has
great
had
year.
Just a really outstanding season.
Yeah.
He puts together such good at-bats. I mean, you want to write a textbook of how to put together a good at-bat. Jake seems to do it almost every time, Tony.
I made sure to tell him that he's the most underrated player we have. We don't talk about him enough for those very same reasons. And sometimes it's not the at-bat. Sometimes it's the glove, as we saw the other night.
Man.
He's just, you know what you're going to get every night from him, and he's always there. Other than he's getting his ribs broke, he's been on the field every night.
He's a G, man.
We asked him about it early in the year, and he said, I go into every game, what can I do to help us win today?
Yep.
Tony asked him about it after the game in the celebration. He said, Like I've told you, Tony, every day I go out there, what can I do to help us win the day? That is why he is what he is. He brings that mentality.
Two more quick ones. The 7-0 start, was it 7-0? Yeah. I never thought they were going to lose
so
again.
Memorable, so memorable, you can't remember what it was.
14-3 start.
Well, I'm not good with the number things, but we should say Manny's 2,000th hit and his 350th homer.
Yeah, money.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, so lots of positives. Lots of good moments from this season. But, of course, I always like to counterpoint it as well. We're at the end of the season. What could the Padres have done better in your mind over the 2025 season? If there's anything in particular that you thought they were a little lacking at. Woods, anything that you feel like it surprised him?
I mean, look, you had every opportunity to win the West this year. I don't like to lament. I don't. I've moved past lamenting in my life. You know, I really have. Like, I am past the age of lamenting. You can't change it. The milk is already spilled. The toothpaste is out. All of it. Everyone. You had an opportunity. And again, you know, the favorable, using finger quotes, schedule, you're like, yeah, I can see this. Absolutely. And, you know, you could have played better against the Twins and the Orioles and teams like that. And, yeah, but I can't really worry about it. There was a, you know, Schilte said it after, in his post game speech when they clinched, like, this was a grind. You guys are a grindy team. It was a grindy year. I think it was a grindy year for the fans too. You didn't know really what team was going to show up, but they never fell off the cliff. You know, they didn't have the tight skid. No. They didn't have the Mets skid. They also didn't have the highs that those teams had. They just kind of even keel. But yeah, I'd say the only thing I regret is like, man, the West was yours if you wanted it. If you really, really wanted it, the West was yours.
Braden, go ahead, Tony.
I was going to say they could have hit better. I think all of that plays into not winning the West. I think it played into later in the season, the starting pitching maybe feeling like they had to be perfect in order because they knew if they fell behind too far, and that always led to, seemed like, some early runs. I just think offensively they never, and maybe it's because you were missing guys like Jackson Merrill throughout the year, but they never really got going. Like, we didn't see what we saw second half of last season where it just, you knew they were going to put up a bunch of runs, and it was pretty consistent. It just never reached that. There are elements of it for like 3-4 games, maybe stretches of time, and then it'd fall off. And so I think that is where I would have liked to have seen it be a little bit better.
Braden, any areas where you would have liked to have seen things improved from 2025?
I agree with Woods and Tony. It's like, I think it's a little bit of both. I think the missed opportunities. I think not taking advantage of being, you know, gift wrapped an opportunity to win the division, being gift wrapped an opportunity to pass Chicago, being, you know, gift wrapped opportunities to really hit your stride and put everybody behind you. I think that's kind of the most frustrating thing. I think that's the most frustrating thing for Padres fans because, you know, we said on our show post-deadline, this team's in the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs. Unless something catastrophically bad happens, which it didn't, they're going to make the playoffs. And they didn't even have that great of a, you know, they didn't have a great August, didn't have that great of a September, and they still made the playoffs before. A lot of other teams are still trying to clinch. But we knew they were going to make the playoffs. I think the frustrating thing for a lot of fans was like, okay, but we could get more right now. Like, we could go get the division for the first time since 2006. We can, you know, be the top wild card team. And at some point where you were battling for a division, you were thinking like, we can get a first round bye. Like, this is great. So I think you took the steps in the right direction. And then when you needed that next game to really take advantage and put the pressure on the teams in front of you, they'd have a faulty game. Like even yesterday, you got a little sense of hope again. You're a game and a half back from both the division and the wild card, top wild card spot. And then, you know, things just don't go your way in a game yesterday. And so I think from a fan perspective, it's like, okay, well, that's a little disappointing that they didn't get there, but it's hard to ask them to be perfect. But I think not taking advantage of opportunities that you have been given might be the most frustrating thing this year.
Yeah, Woods and I were talking this morning. We disagree with – we felt like they always played with urgency. They just didn't always play effectively. But they did so many times. Felt like they either got to the – right to the top of the mountain, and then they just back off a little. And then they get back and they – get close, and then they just wouldn't quite break all the way through.
But nobody cares if you win the last game of the season.
Of
nobody cares about any of those missed opportunities or division titles or anything like that.
Right. So. They rip through the playoffs, and even just making the NLCS, you're like, all right, well.
Yeah, all right, well, so much for that.
Yeah, dude, I mean, do we really care? Like last year, right? They rip through September, right, in August. You're like, this team's almost unbeatable. And then they get shut out for 24 innings, and that's the
taste
of
your mouth more than what you remember. That's what you remember.
What they did last
year. It's all for us. It's all for our feelings because ultimately these guys go out there, and they're gonna do what they do every night. But it makes us feel better if they're going into the playoffs swinging it like gangbusters. And I think it makes all of us just have that a little more warmer feeling going in.
But we went through the numbers, and it has – zero correlation at all.
That's
zero.
Has none.
Sometimes hot teams play well. Sometimes they play poorly. Sometimes cold teams play well. Sometimes they play poorly. The playoffs really doesn't correlate with the regular season.
But it is about feelings. It's about where you can look at something and go, see?
See?
Yeah, see? Right. I knew they weren't going to beat Chicago because we weren't hitting.
Have you talked to any other fan base right now?
They're all saying everyone's a wreck.
Except for the Guardians fans.
I guarantee if the Padres do make a deep run in the playoffs, we'll all go, glad they didn't end up on the other side of that bracket where it could have been a completely different story.
Sure.
And if they go out early, we'll go, man, I wish they had just won a few more games.
Right.
They would have got a totally,
we would have hosted.
Home games, yeah, totally different road. It would have been different. Chris, you got any areas where you would have liked to see things a little bit better?
Oh, I do. You know, Scraby and Tony have kind of been on my case about it all year, but they never came up with the big fly. The 3-run homer and the grand slam. They did end up with, I think, 4 grand slams.
Yep.
And I think 10 3-run homers, maybe 11. But in either case, they were at the bottom of the league in that area. And I don't think you can try to do that necessarily, right? Well, how do you improve that? But it was missing for whatever reason. And I think that that speaks to the inconsistency of the offense. They couldn't put that three spot on the board with one swing enough. And because they hit with runners in scoring position, hot and cold like every other team. I thought they pitched, they bullpen, everything. They're what are they, second to last in home runs overall. And then the big, big hit, the big bomb.
Yeah, you harped on it all year. Now, they do have the most grand slams in baseball in the second half now with five, which is kind of crazy. But being second to last in home runs is almost unbelievable. I mean, yeah, we know these guys can all hit home runs. They have home run hitters in this lineup. And the fact that they didn't, I mean, I don't know. Will you?
They would have won the game yesterday if Bogarts would have got the three-run home run and not get robbed. Yeah. I mean, those are just game changers. And I don't know. I know Tony's giving me the side eye over there
because
we've had this discussion. Like, what do you do about it?
Well, we talk to Eno Saris all the time, and Eno said at Petco Park, you have to be able to pull the baseball. You have to. And like Fernando, Manny was in that really good streak, you know, where he was like, Oppo Manny. He's going to that right center gap. And you're like, okay, it's going to come soon. Now he's going to end up with 27, 28 homers, which is right around where he always is. But you think about Tatis, too. Would always talk about not going out and getting it. Now, if you're a hitter, though, that's the last thing you want to think about is going out and getting the baseball.
We've had teams that tried to pull the baseball, and they are some of our worst offensive teams that we've had. And
it's a real fine line. The idea
of being able to get the swing out there, of course, that's what you want to do all the time.
Yeah.
But the pitcher's the one dictating the action a lot of times. And for this ballpark in particular, the teams that have the most success are, you know, using the whole field. And so, you know, you got to pick your poison. You can have the homers and have a lack of offense overall, or you can, you know, try to balance it. And I think that's where the Padres have found the most success.
Matt, you want to add anything to improvements from the season?
I mean, you guys covered everything. It was really good. The only thing I'll say is, in no side eyes, Luis Arraez for a little bit should have been moved down the lineup. That's it.
For sure.
But now we're moving him up.
Well, he asked the question. Nobody said yes.
He's hot right now.
That's the question.
He's hot right now. It's the playoffs. It's a different story.
He's
now,
that
Chris.
Weird guy, though, that like he should hit like one or nine. He's just like the weirdest. Like he's a typical Luis Arraez year. Absolutely. Absolutely at the top. But in this iteration, I've enjoyed watching him, and he looks comfortable in the one right now. His 13-game hit streak right now with Fernando being out a couple of days. I know it's been mixed up a little bit, but he's just such an interesting – he's maybe the most interesting case study in the game of baseball.
I don't think he's that interesting.
You don't think he's that interesting?
I think you guys are putting –
were you overthinking it?
Overthinking it.
How come?
The dude has the fifth most hits in the league. Like, you're going to put that guy at the bottom of the lineup?
You know what I'm saying. OPS-wise, he doesn't get on a lot. Unless he gets a hit, right?
I want him fourth.
Fourth?
Hitting with
fourth,
guys on base.
Fourth even makes...
He's got to put the ball in play.
Do you like him in the two? Because I haven't got to talk about
I personally
it.
Liked like him in the one.
Yeah.
But everybody tended to like him with in the two spot because Toddy could hit one and you got all that explosiveness.
What about
there,
Toddy hitting two?
I like that. That was last year.
Yeah, that was last year.
That was what we went with last year. But I just think this, you know, it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
It's all right. 97.3 The Fan Padres.
I just want you guys to know I gave him a hug in the celebration the other night.
Did
and
you?
Thanked him for all the agony he put me through this year.
He's like, who are
he
you?
He didn't know
why
that
are you touching
I,
me?
He didn't
who
even
are you touching
he,
me?
He didn't know who I was. But he should have known that I was the one lone light over here.
Speaking
sticking
of side eye, he's side eyeing the PR staff. Get this guy out of here. Why is he touching me right now?
It's our 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable, presented commercial free by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. So, based on everything I'm hearing and based on our preseason predictions, Woods, you were at 81, right?
Yeah.
They're at 87 now. So 87, 88, 89, or 90 will be the final total.
I said 86. They all did it.
They've exceeded everybody's expectations
indeed
this year, right?
Indeed.
I think this is right where I had them this year.
87, 88?
Yeah.
Which is maybe where it ends. We'll see. You know, they don't have a ton probably to play for this weekend. The Diamondbacks do. That's always a weird situation, though. Because now the Padres get to be the team with nothing, just go play free and easy for a couple of days.
Yeah.
It might be what they need more than anything else.
We saw how well they played the the days after they clinched.
Let the Diamondbacks sweat it out for a couple of days this time, and now we get to be the
back
spoiler.
Back-to-back years, we get to have an impact on the Diamondbacks.
That's right.
Another.
At the end of the season. So, I mean, like, letter-wise, you know, is it a B+? Is it an A-? What do we all kind of feel in terms of the 2025 regular season?
B+.
I was gonna say
I go with a B+ because I like agree with everything that we've said. Like, they could have hit better, right? They could have done a little bit of things here and there. It wasn't a perfect year. I think last year the way they finished the season was great. We're not really seeing that same finish this year. But at the same time, like at the beginning of the year, we saw the Dodgers make all these moves. They're coming off a World Series championship and they got Ohtani, and it's like, we're never going to be able to compete with them.
Yep.
And you're, you know, 2.5 back right now with, you know, 4 to play. And you're right there on the doorstep again, despite everything playing out. So from that perspective, I give them a B+. There was room for improvement, but I thought they did a really good job this year.
I got to give them an A- because I'm sitting here thinking Michael King was not here. Joe Musgrove was out. Yu Darvish was not Yu Darvish. He was hurt. And Dylan Cease was not good. And you look at it and go, how the hell did we win this many games? Because the bullpen stepped up and the offense did enough to win some baseball games. They exceeded my expectations. I'm extremely happy the way they were able to piece it together, cobble it together, really, is what they did with the likes of Stephen Kolek and Ryan Burgert. And, you know, Nick Pivetta was a true gem this year. But really, he's the only guy you could really count on every single time out. And really what Randy Vasquez has done, too, they have really cobbled it together. So I'm looking at it going, okay, it wasn't my favorite year to watch. It wasn't aesthetically my favorite thing. I thought we gave away too many outs. I think sometimes we don't have our best defense out there. Still, I think maybe Schilte does get a little bit stubborn at times, which it's his team. He can run it how he wants. Aesthetically, it wasn't my favorite, but like, I'm looking at it going, we won a buttload of games in a really tough division with like no starting pitching. That's pretty good.
Well, in the lineup they had in the first half of the season,
correct,
too, was 7-8-9.
Yeah, Jay Hay and Yuli and Maldonado. I mean, how did we do this?
I think for me, I agree with Woods with the pitching and what they overcame. To get an A or an A minus, you probably have to win the division, especially when you spent as much as you did at the trade deadline to improve yourself. You had to make the playoffs at that point, and they did. So I'll stick with the B+. You know, next time, win about 3 more games, win the division, and you
can get
the A from me. But otherwise, it was a good season, Chris.
I have to give them an A.
Okay.
Straight up. Because this is only the 9th playoff berth in 57 years of Padre baseball.
4 out of the last 6, too,
right? You got to enjoy this more than maybe we are enjoying it in the midst of it. We look back. This is the glory, golden years of Padre baseball.
That's true. Yeah.
It would be wonderful to cap one of these years off with the real championship. But these are championship-type seasons. Every one of them is worth remembering. You know, teams of the Padres' ilk, you know, the Brewers remember 82. The Mariners remember, you know, 04. They don't remember a lot of seasons because they haven't had a lot of great ones. So I think it's an A because of the 48 seasons that weren't an A.
That's a good point. Like, there's 6 teams in the National League that make the playoffs. You're one of them. You can't be super upset about it.
Yep.
Because when you have a team like this, regardless if there's flaws, this is one of your chances because you never know what it's going to be like in the next 10 years or whatever it is.
Any more thoughts from that end of the row?
They get an A for me. Given the division they're in, given the league they're in, the National League was pretty good this year.
Better than a lot thought would be,
100%.
Right?
And I think, you know, given everything Wood said, they didn't really have a complete team at any point during the season. And I think they had it for maybe a couple of days, and somebody else got hurt.
Yep.
And so, they get an A from me. I thought, you know, I think we all kind of see prospects a little differently. I think as good as Leo's doing right now, and he's going to be a good player, I think, you don't know. We ultimately don't know. And you get the guys that you got, including Mason Miller, who you got control over for a little bit. Yeah, this is an A year. The division thing would have been really nice, but can't. We passed. I just wish you passed the age of lamenting.
Past the age of lament.
Now that we've all given these grades, Scraby's going to bring his up. But I think you should have started with Scraby. He would have gone C.
A D.
Bring mine up.
D plus.
You're going to bring yours up.
I actually told Ben to. I gave Ben the small. Let's go because you guys said everything. B plus because they had a shot at the division more than for like 3 weeks, a month, and they didn't get it.
I think a B plus.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, we're going to focus on the playoffs on the second half of the roundtable coming up, but let's break it up with our seventh-inning stretch question, last one of the regular season. Go a little off-topic here, and today's question is, if you had the chance to go live in the past for 1 week, a little time travel vacation, what year are you going to and why? Brayden, where would you like to go see?
That's tough, dude, because I'm a big history nerd. There's a lot of stuff in American history that I'd love to go out and
but you got
to
live there, too.
I understand.
It's not just seeing. You actually have to live there.
I know.
Yeah, you got to live there.
I could rough it in the Wild West for a little bit, but I'm probably not going to. Yes, I could.
Did you just say you could rough it?
I could rough it in the Wild West. Absolutely.
Eat you up.
Have you ever seen Back to the Future 3?
I have. I've seen all the Back to the Futures. I might die of dysentery, but you know what? I'll be there for a couple of days.
The worst experience of your life.
Oh, yeah, be miserable. But it would also be, you have no idea, like, you guys have no idea, like, how into that stuff I am. I mean, I love that. I took an American West class at TCU.
Are you at the OK Corral hiding behind a barrel?
No, like, I'm not. I don't need to see that. Like, I don't need to see that. But I think it'd be cool to see that. The post-Civil War era is kind of cool. But I would go with, because of the fact that I like to take a shower and like some other things. You know, I think it'd be cool, like, to me, you know, because my parents grew up in the – like, they went to high school in the 80s. Like, I think it'd be cool – like 1984, because the Padres that year were going to the World Series. So, like, being in San Diego for a week in 1984, getting to experience the 80s as a as an adult, a lot of cool things happening with San Diego and stuff like that with the Padres. I think that would be a good one. I mean, I was alive in 98, but I was only three. But like the late 90s for San Diego sports would be cool too. But I'm gonna say a week in 1984 in October where you got to see the Padres, you know, go on their run and be able to see what it was like living in the 80s.
84 is a good choice. You go see a lot of good movies in the theater that are just coming out in the mid-1980s. Woods, when would you want to go back to live for a week?
It's such a good question. I probably want to be there for something musical, some sort of musical history, like the Beatles' first show at the Cavern Club. I don't even know what year it was.
How about Woodstock?
Woodstock would be, actually, no. Muddy.
Yeah. Muddy. Wet,
filthy smelly. People.
Also died of dysentery there.
Yeah, smelly people. The brown acid was really bad. I guarantee I would have taken it. And it would not have been cool for me. No, I mean, like, yeah, going to see, like, Zeppelin play their first show or the Beatles or something like that, that's probably would be mine. Something musical in England is probably where it would be.
Matt, what about you?
Oh, man. I would like to say something historical, but like Braden, I do like showers and I do like
convenience.
I do like food that I can go to 7-Eleven and buy instead of having to kill my own food.
Don't want dysentery.
I would say if I'm going to go a little bit different, like maybe late 50s, early 60s, just because everything seemed so simple then. There wasn't, kids could go out and play in the streets until the streetlights, or I don't even know if they had those in the 60s, but you know what I'm saying.
Electricity?
It was more free and easy in my mind.
I think you'd be bored out of your mind in 1955.
But I also was one of those kids I grew up without video games, without cell phones, so I was a kid who was playing outside all the time.
Yeah.
That
still exists, by the way.
It does.
My kids play outside all the time. They don't do video games.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, they don't.
It's a rumor.
It's just a myth. It's something people like to say.
Get off TikTok.
Our whole street is filled with kids playing in the street. Literally every day. It is encouraging.
This is great.
Yeah, it's encouraging.
Because
it exists.
I hope my friend's not watching, but his kid is on the phone all the time.
Yeah.
And it's a problem.
You know, maybe he should be watching then.
Yeah, he should be watching.
Tony?
I'm going to say 1987. I would love to be in the Garden and watch the Lakers. Like somewhere close to where one of the Boston fans was like just real rude. Just has Magic hit the baby hook. I would like to be in the stand somewhere with that parquet floor for sure.
Yeah, I was there.
Were you really?
I was.
83.
I was not there for the baby hook game. I was actually there in 85, I believe, in the Garden.
Well, that was 85?
But, yeah. Oh, is that the 85 one?
The baby hook was 85.
Was it 85? Sorry.
Yeah, it was 85.
Like Chris?
Right, we'll share a ride in our DeLorean out there.
I'm surprised Scraby missed this opportunity when you asked this question, because Scraby would say that I've already lived long enough to have been at all of the days.
I was trying to be nice. Like, which part of history do you want to go back to? Which
part
of
Chris Ello's history do you guys want to go see? That should have been the question.
But my mind thought of a week of incredible history in this country that is still 60 years later. And I wonder what it would have been like to live in Dallas the week of November 22nd, 1960.
Ask my whole family. Yeah, they were all there.
When Kennedy got shot. I've been very intrigued by that whole thing my entire life.
Sure.
I've read a lot about it. And
Been to the Book Depository?
I have just driven on Elm Drive where he was shot, and you flip out.
There's an X on the street. It's crazy.
I don't know. That's 60 years ago. I think that would be pretty crazy to experience.
Chris isn't joking, though, when he says that he's fascinated by this. Because on Monday night, during the game, I was sitting next to Chris, and he started bringing up JFK's assassination.
He would have been on the grassy
things
knoll.
He learned about.
It would have been pretty interesting to be there and be part of something like that.
Would
that
you
they're
stop
still talking
it?
About?
Would you have jumped in front?
You don't
of
know
course,
that.
Of course.
Scraby, you know. Scraby, have you watched Back to the Future? Do you know the consequences of these
time
actions?
Ripples, time ripples. Some people may not be born. All that stuff.
Yeah, crazy.
Well, I think I'll go back around, 40 to 50 years and just go back and play like Pebble Beach when it was still affordable.
Yeah.
And like $800. Let's go back and hit some of these things that I know that there's no chance.
$35 in 1975.
Go way back in time, buy a house in Coronado, sit there for a while.
Ooh, now that's a good story.
I mean, being a season ticket holder back at that point, like for a Laker game, was far cheaper than it is.
Absolutely. The rafters are as expensive as the
floor seats,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
exactly. No doubt about it. All right, last 15 minutes, let's look ahead. Let's quickly revisit last week's playoff rotation conversation. Now that we've seen what Randy Vasquez has done in his last couple of starts, Dylan Cease's most recent start, and what Mike Schilt is kind of doing to set up the playoff rotation, who is going to be, who will be the guys for the Padres now in games 1, 2, and 3 against the Cubs? Chris, do you think it's going to be Pivetta, Darvish, King as is set up now this week, or will there be some surprises?
No, it has to be Pivetta, Darvish, King. My only question is what order for game 2 and 3. I mean, Pivetta's going to pitch game 1. You know, I think I would rather have Darvish facing elimination in game 2. I'd rather have King to close out.
I mean, clinching in game 2.
Right, in game 2. But I think the bigger question is who's going to start game 1 of the Milwaukee series on that Saturday. Because if they beat the Cubs and it goes 3, all 3 of those guys will be unavailable to start game 1 of the next series.
Vasquez.
So Cease. Are you going with Vasquez with Cease behind him? Are you going with Cease?
And Vasquez behind him.
With Vasquez, but I think they'll go with Cease because I still don't think they trust Vasquez. He pitched one great game the other night, don't get me wrong. I think it'll be Cease in game 1 in Milwaukee. Let's just hope they have to figure that out.
Well, Vasquez after Cease.
I'm just telling you what I think they'll do. I don't know.
Yeah, so Mike Schilt has, Tony, he said Darvish is going to pitch tomorrow and King on Saturday, which then would line them up for games 2 and 3. As Chris pointed out, though, for Saturday, if they go to a game 1, could be either of those guys. But we discussed last week, would you see just almost a bullpen game possibility as well? Make sure that you employ your greatest strength, you know, in the first two games. One of the first two games.
Oh, you're talking the Chicago series.
In the Chicago series to make sure you can't afford to fall behind. And you've got your greatest strength. But if you're down 4-0, you've just neutralized your greatest strength. Why not just go to it right away one of those games?
I think that's probably why Darvish is scheduled to go game 2, is because he has been, you know, they have babied him along to allow him to kind of for recovery and different reasons, and babies maybe is the wrong word, but either way, I think you put him in game 2 because you know you do have the bullpen, and I think Michael King is probably likely to be able to have the reins taken off of him a little bit more in a game 3 situation. So yeah, I think that lines up. I don't know if it'll be a bullpen game, but I think when Darv starts a game 2, there's always the possibility that you end up, at least that's what it's looked like since he's become back, that you go to the bullpen in a game 2 and you can use those guys.
Bullpen idea for game 1, actually, the Milwaukee series.
That could work. You'll be rested at least a day. You know, you've got some freshness. If it comes down to a Cease versus Vasquez question, it's such an impossible dilemma. You go the stuff or the results?
I'm going to go Nestor Cortez and just throw a big wrinkle, a big lefty wrinkle at everybody. I mean, I'm
the wrinkle.
It sounds crazy to say, but I think I'm still going Dylan.
I don't think that's crazy. I really don't.
He's still going Dylan.
He's got experience.
I think we also have to take into account outside of the Brewers start, which was very good for Vasquez. The other ones came against the Rockies.
Yep.
And then the one time he did face a much better offense, which is New York.
Yep.
He didn't get out of the second. Yep. Now you can have the discussion of
whether or not he should have.
It was clear that it looked different that day than it was looking against the Rockies, and quite frankly, the way it looked against the Brewers.
I get bullish like everybody. You know, I do get bullish, and I watch him pitch, and I'm like, you're this close. He's this close. He's a good throw away. You know, yesterday he's a two-out, two-strike hit away from it. You just got to think it's going to go his way at some point because the stuff is just so bleeping good.
Like he got squeezed on that one plate appearance, and then it kind of just unspooled a little bit. Yep. He got it back, but yeah, I'm right. I'm with you.
Squeezed on the very same pitch, by the way, that the guy called for me. Now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's another subject. But
if he goes out and gets torched, I'll wear it. I don't care. Yeah, I have no problem saying, I was wrong, and history should have told me that. But I think about, like, if I was running the team, how it would keep me up at night.
Right.
Just like how I'd want to put my arms around him and go, do you know how effing good you are? Do you know how good of a pitcher you are? 200 Ks, you know, you have it. It's in you to do it. To just forget about everything else. Go out free and easy and just let it eat, dude. And don't think about anything. And it's so much easier said than done. I think I'm going with him. And yeah. I don't think I look back.
What do we think about Dylan Cease coming out of the bullpen?
Chris not and I much. I don't.
The reasoning behind it, Chris and I talked about it a little bit yesterday, is because he is so good through the first nine guys. First time through the lineup.
He's such a regimented person,
yes,
though.
I think the human being of him is...
Exactly.
So you're saying that the different role would
mess with him.
I think that would be difficult.
I think there are guys that can do it. There are guys that can do it with ease. And then there are guys that are like, I'll do it if you want me to. That's not the guy you want, right? Like, if you need me, I guess I can. Like, no.
It's like in the Waterboy when he picks out that one guy for the onside kick.
It's right. And there are certain guys that are like, I think you could go to Joe Musgrove and go, can you pitch out? But he goes, 100%. He's that. I think Darvish could do it. I really do. And I think with him, he'd be like, okay, if you need me.
I didn't think about it that way because he is already, like you said, teetering on being a great pitcher.
Right.
If
he comes out and he's just, everything's up.
No one would be surprised if he came out and went seven shutty and was just dominant.
No, but fans are probably typing in the YouTube chat right now. Remember what happened last year?
3 days rest, right?
That was last year. Yep.
You got to get over it.
That was last year.
3 days rest. Again, what does that do? It throws him off his routine. Yeah. So I wouldn't mess with his routine at all. I love the idea of having a guy that comes in and throws, you know, 80-grade slider and 100-mile-an-hour fastball. I love that idea. I just don't think he's the right guy for it.
We're going to see the Dodgers bring in Clayton Kershaw out of the bullpen late.
He did it last night.
Everyone's going to say Dave Roberts is a genius. Why didn't the Padres do that?
If it backfires, everyone's going to blame Dave.
And if Mike Schilt, you know, brings in Randy Vasquez to start, he's either a genius or he's a moron.
That's how it works. There's really no alternative.
I'll give him another thing that I'm sure he's got to be thinking about right now. Who are you trusting with the seventh inning right now?
Yeah, because Estrada needs a few days.
I love Estrada, and he could blow everybody right in a hurry. 1-2-3, but I can't trust it at the moment.
Right,
and Mordejón is fifth and sixth, and certainly Miller's eight, and Suarez is nine. So.
Are they just going to hold their breath and put Estrada in right now?
The game that the timer would tick and that every all the pieces would blow up out of it?
Boggle or something?
Not the Boggle.
Perfection.
That's Jeremiah Estrada. You're going to have to play it. You're going to have to put him out there, and you're
1,000%.
Just hoping.
Yeah.
You're hoping it doesn't blow up.
Which
is fine, but like he shouldn't throw the baseball until Tuesday.
Yeah, you should
I think there's quite a few guys that need that. Yes.
Him and Mordejón in particular, I think could use a little breather.
I want to see a lot of Machio.
Mulch should be throwing some innings
this weekend. I want to see Jake Sears this weekend.
No kid.
I've never
Mud would do it, too.
I want to see
Mud from Mud, four from Scanlon coming up this Sunday.
Yeah,
I can be an opener one day.
There you go.
Tell Manny to look out, though.
All right, last couple of minutes. Let's just move here to the end. Everyone gets a pick to click. Who's going to step up and be the Padres' biggest star in the postseason, if such a thing exists? Who do you feel like their time is going to be October 2025? Manny, I'll let you go first.
Immediately, first guy that comes to mind is Bryce Johnson, but I will.
I love it.
Is Tyler Wade available?
I love Bryce Johnson. He's been good this year, but he obviously is not going to get enough opportunity to be an MVP.
Maybe.
I will go with the easy one and say Fernando because he turns it on when the bright lights hit. And we saw him last year outside of that 24 innings they didn't score. He was incredible in the first part of that Dodger series. But he loves when people are watching, and I think he's going
to
be great.
Tony, pick to click for the postseason?
He kind of took mine, so I'll pivot. I'll go with Luis.
Okay.
I think he's gonna be a play a huge part in this playoff.
Couple three hit games.
I can see it.
He does it more than anybody else in baseball. Woods.
The first guy that popped in my head was
you're asking a guy that probably doesn't think anyone's gonna click.
No, I do. I do. I
negative over here.
I do. I do. I think. Give me. It's time. It's time for it to finally happen in October. I'm going Manny, 13.
Yep. Oh, okay.
He's going to finally get it going. Finally, he's going to get that postseason curse off his back. He hasn't been bad, but he hasn't been great.
I think he has the second behind Paul Goldschmidt, second most war of any player in baseball without winning a World Series.
Oh. Mm.
So he could get his name off that list.
Now, if yesterday's any indication, my pick is going to look really, really bad. Really bad.
It's a bold choice today.
Bold choice today. Bit of a homeristic pick. I get it, but I got him on a ride with my guy. I'm going to ride him like a thoroughbred.
Braden, pick to click.
Dylan Cease.
Ooh.
Everybody's been so anti-Dylan Cease the year he's had. By the way, anybody know who leads all of Major League Baseball in starting pitching for strikeout per nine?
That'd be Dylan Cease.
It's Dylan Cease. You know who's also probably third worst in walks per nine? It's also Dylan Cease.
Wait, can I, real quick, because we can't, just came up in the game the other day. It's just to go show you how crazy baseball is. Blake Snell wins a Cy Young, leading the league in strikeouts, leading the league in walks.
Yep.
Dylan Cease ain't even like on that
not
tier.
Radar, yeah.
And he's having one of the worst
his
years
ERA
of his career.
ERA is way higher than his expected ERA. I'm telling, like, I just, with everything that he's had this season, the fact that it's his last year in San Diego and what happened last year in the playoffs, I could see, and the fact that the Padres need starting pitching in a bad way, I could see him coming out against the Cubs and shoving for 7 innings.
I saw Manny grab him after they clinched. Did you guys see that on the sideline? Right in front of the dugout, Manny like grabbing around like the back of the head and like having like a word, and Dylan's nodding and kind of looking at him, and I don't know what he said. My guess is, hey bro,
we're gonna need you
and we're gonna need you big. And Dylan looked ready for the occasion. And I thought he pitched great yesterday. He did. He gave one run, 8 Ks, 2 walks. I sign up for that right now for the rest of the playoffs from Dylan
Cease. That sets you up for a win in a playoff.
Yep. Chris, we got about 20 seconds combined for our picks.
Well, I'm going to just go with my favorite Padre and a guy that the moment is never too big for. That's Jake.
Love it.
I think in the postseason, in national TV, everyone loves the radar gun. I'll go with Mason Miller. Comes up and makes a lot
every
of...
Every day he's on the mound, an immaculate inning is in play.
Strikes out every battery face.
He absolutely might. All right, well, hopefully we are here next Thursday talking about a division series after a sweep for the Cubs. We'll find out. Thanks for joining us all regular season long, though. It's the 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. Go Padres and have a great rest of your Thursday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.